excursions, especially a foreign language trip, where we, you know, go to Paris and Madrid, and we did that a couple times, and we had a great trip planned to Madrid and Paris and Barcelona. And unfortunately, we had to cancel it, remember, because, you know, the world's an interesting place, especially, you know, concerning terrorism and concerns of travel and all those things. And I remember one thing Mr. Foster told me. He goes, you know what? Is there any way you can push trips like you've been doing, and the teachers and the students? Because it's, what a great experience. Because every time we share it out at board meetings, you know, people just are so impressed, and they want that for their children. They want those opportunities. So I went back to the social studies department, and we talked it out, and we're like, you know what? Let's pick a wild card. I mean, who the heck would ever think of going to Cuba? You know, Cuba, right? I mean, not many people have been there, not many people know much about it, but I'm thinking 3 hours away, no time zone difference. Now it's kind of open, somewhat, and we learned how open it really was, having been there. And I gotta tell you, it was a little bit of anxiousness involved, you know, fear of the unknown, if you will. But I gotta tell you, you're gonna see, you know, proofs in the pictures. Pictures worth thousands of words. But it exceeded all of our expectations. And I have to thank, Dr. Flynn Trace and Ms. Gordiosa, who were the planners of this. They did a lot of work, and maybe we can get into a little bit of how the economy works, where because of the embargo, we couldn't talk directly to the company. They went through a lot. But I gotta thank the students, first and foremost, because they were really true ambassadors, in a lot of different levels. They're ambassadors for their school, they're ambassadors for their nation, and they're ambassadors for themselves. I've always so impressed on how they deport themselves, how they really are able to communicate with people of all walks of life. And I can't tell you how many people came up to all of us, whether it's myself or the teachers or students, and they literally were thanking us, whether it was the tour guide or the bus driver or the person in the airport, or people just stopped us in the hotel lobby and said, thank you for coming. You're such wonderful people. Please come back. You can't buy that. You can't buy that. And that's a reflection of our student body and their parents and our upbringing and our community. And we really, really represent ourselves well. And the people of Cuba really, really learned a lot about Americans as we learned about them. So enough of that. Mrs. Gordiosa, Mr. Vladi, who also went, and Dr. Flynn Trace are here. We did ask a bunch of students, but you know they're running around with sports, and it's a beautiful night. But we do have Ryan McGill here, who absolutely can represent the student body. So we have a video. We're going to share some stories. So just sit back and enjoy. All right?
Para mi fortuna, será que te va a ayudar. singing together. And again, it was as if the language were no barrier at all. A few of our students speak Spanish pretty well. They've been going through the program here and really had a good time testing out their language skills. Before we left the tour company, just a week before we left, they suggested that we bring gifts for the school children that we would be meeting. And it kind of hit us as a bit of a surprise right before the trip, because we told the students they could bring a carry-on bag onto the plane, because we wanted to make sure that their bags all got to them when we got there, and we didn't want to be waiting at the luggage carousel when we got to Cuba. So I put a notice on the Santa Maria's Facebook page that we were going on the trip, and I made a list of the suggested gifts that we had been asked to bring. And for 5 days, the gifts poured into this building. And we wound up filling up 5 enormous-sized suitcases to check when we got there and bring with us. And they were and things like art supplies, school supplies, batteries, toiletry items. And they were so very grateful for the fact that we thought enough of them to bring in. And as Ed mentioned before, the greeting we got, students told me that they've never gone anywhere where they felt so welcome. And we'd have our students translating when someone couldn't speak English, and they were just, please go back to America and tell people to come here and have a blessed trip while you're here and a good trip home. We're so grateful to you for coming here. It was a beautiful place. It was filled with beautiful people. And it was really an experience that it was moving. And I think really also from the historical piece of it, what an opportunity these kids and we had to see Cuba at this time. And could you imagine going back there in 5 years or 10 years? We went to one restaurant, if you're interested. It's featured on Amazon, Emerald Eats the World. And he goes to Cuba, and he actually went to one of the restaurants where we went. And we started off at an organic farm where they show us how they recycle plastic bottles, and you name it, they're recycling, and they create this organic farm. And then they use what they grow there at a restaurant down the street. So we went in and had a cooking lesson and an amazing meal. And we had seen something before we went where it showed in the restaurant that people signed the walls and signed wood rafters. So when we noticed that, I had thrown a bunch of Sharpie markers in my bag, and we got there, and at the end of our meal, I asked the owner if we could sign the wall where everyone else had. And he was so taken with our students, he said, no, this is the wall that you're going to sign. It was this enormous, clean, white-painted wall. So I asked Mrs. Gordioso to go up, and she wrote on it, Santa Maria's High School, New York, 2017. And the kids are dying now. They're like, what is she doing? The graffiti on the wall. And then we all went up and we signed our names. So every student has left their mark on this restaurant. And what was really sweet is that the students then asked our tour guide and our bus driver if they'd come in too and sign it with us. So it was really kind of a neat group that we created. And we asked the kids, if you ever get back here, make sure you take a picture of the wall and send it to us, and we'll see if our names are still up there, however many years it takes for them to get back there again. But it was really a fantastic opportunity with a great group of kids. I've known many of them for 3 years, and I feel closer to them after this than even having them left. So it was really wonderful. I'm sorry, I'm going on. Oh, now Evelyn comes in.
Hi.
Hey. Ryan, would you like to come up from there with your impressions?
Evelyn, come down.
Well, you basically just about said everything I would like to say, thought about saying, but thanks. But I really just have to elaborate on the people part. Like, I'm a bit spoiled in the fact that I've gotten to travel a lot of places. If you look at my mom's Facebook page, you'll get that impression. But it's the people ties that really blew me away. We would come up, there were people who would just come up to us and talk about how many ties they had to America. On the first day, there was a person who came up to us and they were talking about how their son was a nuclear physicist here in the States. And they were just so happy. Oh, we love Americans. It's so great to see these young people's faces here, seeing what Cuba really is. And That blew me away. I've never had that kind of experience before. I've always been running around, seeing the sights, moving on to the next thing. So to have that chance to kind of sit back and really get an idea of what Cuba meant to the people who live there was something I'd never had. Whether it be meeting people on the streets, them telling, like, waiters telling jokes, the cafe that we saw, the waiters there were some of the most friendly people I've ever met, and they wanted to talk to us. They wanted to converse. It was so amazing. I don't know how much of an experience, like, I could measure it by. It was just so unique and so amazing. I can't thank them enough for bringing me on this trip. It really was something else. All the sights I saw, just being able to hang out with my friends, it was just a great time.
So did you go into Parliament, or you had a tour of all of Havana?
What
did
you, yeah. Yep. We went around and saw really great old sites. It looked straight out of a movie. Like you could just rip it from the pages of a history book. It was amazing.
It's interesting to me that how friendly people were given so many years and so many, and the sanctions that have been imposed. Is your sense it's because they're unhappy and have been with the government there, or they're happy for tourism and they're excited that it's opening up?
I think it was kind of like us, where they were a little more excited to be exposed to different people and the American culture, which they've heard so much about. No negativity, no upset with the United States. That obstacle didn't exist. It really wasn't talked about a whole lot. You know, a little bit of reference here and there to Che being killed by the CIA, but just in passing, not really to engage in some kind of debate about it. You know, I kind of, when I went in, I was thinking we were going to see these 26-foot-tall statues of the Castros, but it wasn't like that at all. There were posters here and there. There were messages on the walls here and there. But nothing too much, really. Not nearly what I expected it was going to be. We did get into the American Embassy. That was an interesting experience. While we were there, the alarms went off. And they actually had what we presume had to have been a 1950s duck and cover emergency, not Intifada, not a lock-in, lock-down, lock-out. Duck and cover. And they're all looking at us.
We had no idea.
We were all looking at Mr. Caswell. He was the only one around then. So we're like, what's
People were telling me to leave through the doors. I'm like, they told me not to go through the doors, like, because there were security guards who were really big and really scary. I couldn't do anything about it because I didn't want to, you know, get them the wrong impression. And that was a fun time.
So, Evelyn, any thoughts you'd like to share, like vivid impressions?
Yeah, likewise to Ryan, I've been to quite a few places, Europe, and I've never, like, exactly what he said, I've never experienced, like, such friendly people towards tourists, and they just seemed, I didn't notice any dirty looks, everybody was just really happy just to see Americans spending their money in their country and helping out.
Hey, can I be cliche for a little bit, Evelyn and Ryan?
Yeah.
You gonna forget this trip anytime soon?
No.
What kind of question is that?
That's a rhetorical one, because the point is, when we have opportunities to participate in these type of experiences, this is what learning's all about, you know. And from the adult perspective, as teachers, sure. Personally, it was really neat for us, but more so, like Patty said, we get to connect with our students on such a different level. You know, we're outside the school, we're in a different country, we're kind of living together for 5 days, you know, 24/7. And, you know, we all have a bond now. Like, we're like the Cuba team. And, you know, when we see each other in the halls, it's like, hey, you know, like, we have that special bond. And that's for a lifetime. So,
oh, my God.
What?
Dancing on the bus. We need to show everyone that video.
No, we don't see that video.
I don't think you want to see me dance on the bus.
Yeah, we somehow managed to convince all the teachers, including our tour guide, to start dancing on the bus.
It sounds
as funny as it implies.
Talented dancer.
You're saying.
I think that a huge thank you has to go out, because to pull off like a regular field trip to go into the city or anywhere is really, that can be overwhelming. So the fact that you guys were able to pull off a trip to Cuba and have a bunch of kids go, come back, have such a great time. I so appreciate what you've done for our students in St. Rich's, because this really is.
Especially you guys. So yeah. Much.
With the terrorism concerns that you had in other places, to think about this and figure it out is unbelievable. It's really, you know, to every one of the chaperones and every one of you, I really appreciate. You said it at the beginning, kind of pushing to think outside the box is great. I mean, this is very exciting. I wonder where you're going to go next year.
I don't know. It's good. Well, we're going to keep on our hats for now, but you know, we all should be very proud of our children. We should all be very, very proud, and it's a real testament to this community. So thank you, Patty, Kier, and Rich, and Evelyn, and Ryan, who represent the 26. You spoke so eloquently. Your passions come out, and I'm just blessed to be part of your lives. All right? Thanks, everybody.
Next section of the agenda tonight is public hearing on the proposed 2017-2018 budget.
Thank you all for attending. Can you hear me all the way in the back? I just want to make sure. I can use a microphone and let you can hear me. Can hear thumbs up.
Great.
As many of you know, the district is required by New York State law to hold the budget hearing that we're holding tonight prior to the actual budget vote. So far, we've had 4 months of presentations. I know many of you have been at every one of our presentations. Thank you so much. The presentations culminated about 2 weeks ago when the Board of Education formally and unanimously adopted the budget. I want to let everyone know that every presentation that has happened over the last 4 months are online on the website. So if you wanted to go back and look at any specific presentation, feel free to do that, as well as the audio. So if you're somebody that just wants to hear it as you're, you know, sitting down and listening to something else or doing something else, they're also online via audio. If you have any questions, I would just ask that you just wait to the end so we can go through all the PowerPoint slides. And then at the end, if you have any questions, we'll answer as many questions as you have and stay as long as you want. So, Carol, you're not there yet. Go to the second slide, Ricardo, please. Okay, so how did we get here? In front of you, you'll see in the PowerPoint the slides that outline the past 4 months. So it all began on January 21st, where Mr. Soto presented our current and projected enrollment and staffing. That was for the 2016-17 school year, as well as the 2017-18 school year. At the 2-8 meeting on February 8th is where Carol, based off of Mr. Soto's enrollment and staffing presentation, presented the costs associated with the salaries and benefits for the entire district. At the March 8th meeting, that's where our building administration, that was the principals and the assistant principals, presented the 5-year annual goals for the entire district. On March 22nd, Ms. Perkins presented again our tax cap limitation and our 17-18 estimated revenue. And if you remember, as Carol was presenting the estimated revenue, at that point in time, we did not have a budget passed by New York State, so it was truly an estimated and continued that way through April 5th. At the April 5th meeting, Ms. Perkins and I provided an overview, as well as Mr. Soto and Ms. Ingolia, an overview on revenue and proposed the 17-18 expenses. And we were expected on that day, on April 5th, we were hoping that we would have a budget passed by New York State. So we did not. So we had to continue with just estimating our revenue in that area and actually wait to the next meeting. And on April 19th, which is normally the place where the Board of Education adopts the budget, we couldn't adopt it yet because we weren't prepared until before we presented, and we did an update because at that time everybody was probably reading the papers. New York State passed the budget, albeit a little late, but not too late. So at that point in time, we came back, we presented again with the updated expenditures and the updated expenses and revenue, and we after that is when the Board of Education formally adopted the budget. And that brings us to tonight's budget hearing. Okay. In August 2016, I know many of you were here when the Board of Education adopted their goals. They formally adopted the goals in August 2016, which included within those goals, and those are online as well on the website, which included the financial goals. One of the financial goals, and which you'll see right here, was very specific. And there's a reason that it's specific, because it's about the tax levy. The tax levy, basically, the tax levy now drives the budget. Years ago, it did not drive the budget, but once the tax cap limitation came into play, that's when it became a driving force. So one of the financial goals from the Board of Education was the goal that you see in front of us here in the 2017-18 tax levy will be the lesser of the state set tax cap, or 2%. To the extent the tax cap is greater than 1.5%, up to additional 5% shall be included specifically for incremental programmatic offerings. That's for growth. And what you'll see tonight, and what we're going to present to you tonight, is when the board adopted the budget, they adopted to support the general operating expenses. We stayed within the Board of Education's goals of 1.5%. We did have the 0.5%. We didn't utilize all of that, but we did add at least 0.14 to support additional programmatic offerings. And as you'll see, there's a 0.67 that's calculated in our tax cap levy. That was for May 2015 is when actually the voter approved capital project debt service, or the capital project was approved. So the 0.67 has already been approved by the community back in May of 2015. So I want to make that a point. And I also want to make it a point that with that debt service, please understand that that happens to be the current capital project that's happening right now. That entire 0.67, right now we've completed phase one, and many of you have been watching phase one. We've already completed phase one, and in the summer and in the fall, we're going to be completing phase two. So 0.67 of the tax levy increase has been from a past action has been approved by the community. So the tax levy increase is actually the New York State calculation for us was a 2.31, and the Board of Education once again has unanimously supported that we go out at the tax levy, not going above or below. They asked Ms. Ingolia to just come forward just to speak a little bit about our program enhancements.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. So the 2017-2018 budget includes the maintenance of our K-12 programs. So that includes everything that you see on the slide, our course offerings, extracurricular activities, our athletic offerings, arts and music programs, And an interesting, another piece to note here is that in this maintenance of our programs, you know, over the past few years, if you refer back to the five-year plans of our principals that have been presented, there's been a tremendous amount of work done by the entire educational team to build the program that's embedded in this slide. So to maintain that growth and really stay within the Board of Education goals, we've been completely supported by the Board of Education in building our programs. So it's not just a checking-the-box accomplishment to say that we're maintaining our growth from year to year. It's you know, we try to add incrementally, and we have added incrementally every year with the support of the Board of Education. So I would like to thank them for that. And our growth continues. So for 17-18, we have several program enhancements, additional math academic support at the primary level, and really all these program enhancements, before I move forward with that, it really comes from, again, the work of the entire educational team, teachers, students, parents, feedback from all of the stakeholder groups. Sometimes it's just through conversations, sometimes it's through data collection, sometimes it's through staff surveys. So, for example, you know, the math academic support at the primary level, we know how important foundations are in every single subject area. So, specifically, we had heard from teachers and based on student need that we needed to add some additional math support at the primary level. In the area of clubs, this is one of the areas that would pertain to, say, the five-year plans of our buildings. We have tried to incrementally add clubs at every level each year. So next year, there's a tremendous amount of interest in Lego League, so we're expanding that to grade two for next year. And so many of you have witnessed the presentations of robotics, youth and government, and how important it is to give, you know, if you think about tonight's presentation to Cuba, to give kids opportunities for these real-life situations and real-life scenarios. So youth and government, for example, the last board meeting, we had a presentation that was just so overwhelming as a culminating educational experience that now at the middle school, we want to grow that program from, you know, kind of in a backwards fashion. This is at the high school now, and we want to move back and start the interest at the middle school level. So also at the middle school, we are hopefully adding jazz band and chorus. Quick little story, the entire music department presented at one of our recent curriculum committee meetings, and really the gist of their presentation was to highlight their program and talk about the ways that they want to grow their program. And, you know, in the music area, you have your band and chorus kids, but sometimes those kids need something else to keep them booked into the music program. So jazz band and chorus is a great way to do that. So that was one of the things that they had shared with us, and that's one of their asks, and we're happy to support that for next year. And I'm going to skip down to we have an assistant robotics advisor addition at both the middle school and high school levels. And anyone that has either been to robotics presentations or any of the events, you know how many of our students are involved in those programs. It's simply phenomenal. And so having that additional advisor is really necessary to support the continuation and the growth of that program. So also, like, one of the things I really love about the clubs is that it is very dynamic. We are trying to kind of capture the interest of all of our kids. So we've added a book club at the high school and Serious About Science Club. As much as I think it's great that robotics has that competitive spirit, some kids just want to explore their interests, you know, in a non-high-stakes arena. So, you know, we're trying to add as many clubs as we can to give kids that outlet to do so. At the high school level, we are adding AP Physics, Computer Science, Excelsior Culinary Arts, and Excelsior Astronomy. So again, you can see, like, we're trying to diversify our course offerings to capture as many kids' interests as possible. In the athletic area, currently we have two middle school girls volleyball teams, and we've had a ton of interest similarly in the boys volleyball team. So we are adding a second boys volleyball team. We had enough this year for two teams, and that interest is going to continue. We also added middle school intramurals for sixth graders and for students and athletes who are not currently on
competitive sports. So, again, you know, trying to capture the interest of kids in and outside of school. Also, at the high school level, we added assistant lacrosse coaches, really to support, again, the number of students and student athletes that we have on those teams. So, going to shift a little bit, we focused a lot on the guidance program over the past few years. And really, if you think about it, not to simplify the educational program, but a lot of everything that we do is really about the next step. You know, from elementary to middle to high school, college and career readiness, college and career prep. So, adding, this has been a focus for us, because adding, you know, the school field trips, college visits from the school perspective has been a focus, because having that on-campus experience, that on-campus knowledge firsthand, what is a college campus like? What is, you know, what should I be looking for as I start researching colleges? So having this opportunity and trying to grow these opportunities has been very important to us. So we are adding college visits, school-based college visits for next year. And certainly last but not least, additional professional development opportunities K-12. And one of the things I really love about this piece is that it truly is teacher-driven, driven by the interests and needs of the teachers. So, again, like I said earlier, we get feedback from all different directions, whether it's just through conversations or surveys, and this has been a point that the teachers have made very clearly. So I think it's, you know, it's crucial to from new teachers to veteran teachers, and it's crucial as the world of education and all the subject areas are in perpetual change to be able to support the teachers as they move through their careers and as curriculum changes occur, you know, almost constantly. So this doesn't pertain to one particular area. It pertains to special education, technology, writing, science, math, social studies, and the list goes on and on. So I hope that, in terms of professional development, that we can keep building on our growth in this area, because it is continual. It will always be dynamic and always be necessary to support. So, you know, this whole entire piece is really based on capturing the interests and needs of our students and based on their talents and the talents of our teachers. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you look at robotics, that is student-driven. I don't know if this would be a fair statement, but I believe that robotics is probably the fastest-growing activity that we have here in Center Ridges, or certainly one of the fastest growing. So that is driven by the students. The two advise the assistant advisors or coaches in the middle school and the high school, both have grown tremendously. So
Lego League, you know, really bleeds into robotics. So those are all really tied together.
Some great things. I asked Carol to speak about the group-wide budget. Carol, before that, though, I just thought the audience would like to see this slide here, because when I look at the budget, and I think a lot of people do, they just focus on two things. One is the budget-to-budget expense, to see how much of a percentage we've raised from last year's budget to this year's budget. So on the top of the slide here, you'll see that from 16-17 to 17-18, budget-to-budget increase is a 2.17%. And the second portion that most of us, if not all of us, focus on is the proposed tax levy. And what you'll see here is the proposed tax levy that I mentioned in the previous slide is 2.31%. And then also what I wanted you to see is the history of, where Center Ridges has been with the tax levy and the tax rate. I always kind of get thrown off, because if you look at the bottom and you look at the five-year tax rate average at a 1.33, most people would believe, and I'm sure if I went out there and asked a lot of people, they would believe that it stops at the tax levy, and they would believe that the tax levy actually always has to equal the tax rate. But that's not necessarily true. And, you know, the tax rate is driven by your property. It's a property assessment. So as you can see, in every single year, whatever our tax levy has been does not equal your actual tax rate. Of course, we don't have the last one because we don't know what it's going to be. But I thought it's important for people to see that over the past 5 years, and this is excluding any rebate checks, that the five-year tax rate average is a 1.33%. Carol, by law, has to present also in this format the three-part budget format.
Yeah, this is a requirement by the state to just show the budget in a different way, rather than looking at it by function. This is looking at it has three components to it: the administrative component, the capital, and the program component. The administrative component is somewhat like the indirect costs. It's not the total indirect costs of the school district or the school district, but it's made up of the Board of Education meetings, the costs associated with that, the district clerk, the superintendent's office, finance, which includes the business office, all of the components of the business office, auditing, and building administration. Building administration would include all your administrative staff and the clerical staff that are within each one of the buildings, along with the employee benefits associated with those positions. Also, the administrative component includes curriculum development and supervision, which includes professional development. The next component, capital, is primarily has to do with the building, which you're building the grounds. It's the staff, it's your custodial staff, your ground staff, your maintenance staff, and that also associated with that is the employee benefits. It also includes utilities, any of the supplies of the buildings, any of the services to maintain the buildings are included under capital, as well as security and any debt service that's associated with the school district, the borrowings, and maintenance repair. A program, which is the largest component of our budget, is really the instructional program. And it includes all the instructional staff and all the support staff associated with the instructional program. And again, it includes the employee benefits associated with those positions. Textbooks, classroom supplies, and services that that support the instructional programs. Athletics, the co-curricular activities such as we were mentioning before, robotics, all the clubs are included under co-curricular activities. And then we have the transportation and then transfer to special aid fund, which is our summer program. As you can see from the top, of the entire budget, the administrative component makes up about 10.1%, about 10% of the budget. That's followed by capital, which is 14.3%. And you can see that the program component of the entire budget makes up about 76% of the budget. And it's just a different way of seeing it. The pie chart, you can see again that the program makes up most of the budget, the larger percentage of the budget.
You mentioned the one area, Carol, with security. You should know that within this budget, you're not seeing anything with smart schools, Board of Education. You're going to have a presentation probably in the next month or two. I'm going to ask Mr. Soto and his team to present, because we have a lot of things happening in the area of security. We have now, I think, until August, we're going to see a tremendous amount more cameras in the district. We're going to see door swipes. We're going to see a lot of things from the security end of it, but that's from the smart schools bond, so that's a grant, so it's not something that is seen in the budget. So I just want the board to realize that, and that presentation will be forthcoming. The summary, once again, is a proposed tax levy increase at a 2.31 and a budget-to-budget at a 2.17. I mentioned the Board of Education's goals and financial goals. I showed you one in the beginning. which I call the driving force, because once the Board of Education sets their goals, it's almost like our roadmap here as an administrative team to be able to look at what the community wants, and then we figure out ways to get to that point. So the first one that I showed you, obviously, was the tax limit. And it starts from there. And the board says, look, you're going to stay at a 1.5 tax levy for a certain portion of it, and you're allowed to go another 0.5 if you show us growth. Then that we begin from there as an administrative team. We sit down and say, well, this is what we have to work with. The Board of Education had several other financial goals, many other goals too, academically and so on. But I thought, of course, because it's budget hearing, that we would go through the financial goals, the rest of them. I wanted to see the other three or four that Mr. Soto is going to show you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. At the April 5th Board of Education meeting, we went through and we kind of emphasized the Board of Education financial goals for the 17-18 school year. And as Mrs. Stewart indicated, we do utilize the goals as a roadmap, as a way to kind of frame the way we approach the budgetary process. It is a guide for us in a sense. We utilize it to kind of look at what we need in the sense of our program, our expenditures, our revenue side. And we utilize the goals to kind of look at the future of the district in a sense. So what's interesting is that when you look at the Board of Education financial goals for the 17-18 school year, two pieces kind of stand out to me. One is that it shows us sort of the value that this Board of Education is emphasizing in the sense of looking at the financial aspects of running a district. The first piece is, in my perspective, in our perspective as the administrative team, is this Board of Education wants to be made fiscally responsible to the community. So the first 3 points, which I'm going to go into detail in a moment, looks at that. The second piece that I think the Board of Education truly values as a board is how are we going to grow our program? How are we going to increase opportunities to our students? And that kind of touches upon the fourth bullet, which I'm going to speak to momentarily. But I do have to take a moment to put my glasses on because there are some percentages, numbers that unfortunately my age is forcing me to wear glasses now. But the first piece, which is something we talked about at the April 5th meeting, is the budget would not increase more than 12% in the aggregate over the next 5 years. Happy to announce, as I did at the April 5th meeting, that the average over the course of 5 years is 1.58%, and the total within the 5 years is 7.94%. So we have definitely made that goal. We've achieved that goal. We've accomplished that goal. The second component of the financial goal is the budget shall be less than or equal to 102% of the 2016-17 budget. Now, with the 2% tax cap, we're sort of like obligated to remain within that 2%. Even though the 2% is not necessarily 2%, it's different for every district, and it doesn't necessarily consider the 0.67 that's attributed to the debt service. Last year, we had to include 0.35% that was associated to the first year's capital improvement, the phase one of that capital improvement plan, and that is the money that was borrowed that we have to pay back. This year is 0.32%, so together it's obviously 0.67%, which is added onto the budget. Last year, we had a tax levy increase of 2.31. 1.5 was dedicated to just programmatic budget-to-budget increases. 0.5% was dedicated to incremental programmatic growth, and 0.135 is dedicated to the debt service. That is something that you really have to consider. Now, the next piece in terms of tax levy, the 10% aggregate over the next 5 years, the average over the course of 5 years is 1.9%. The five-year total is 9.52%. Which, once again, you have to consider the 0.5% that is of the debt service. So if you take that out, it's actually really 9%. So we've made that go as well. Now, I really want to speak to the last piece, which is the incremental growth, which Mrs. Agnolia did a great job in presenting some of the things that we're looking to implement for the 17-18 school year. And one of the greatest things about this Board of Education, in my mind, it's great working with all of you as an administrative team, because you do look at the future of the district, of the community, trying to increase, as I mentioned a moment ago, the opportunities that are available to our students, and even the opportunities that are available to our staff. In terms of building the capacity of staff, that's how we build the program itself. By building what teachers can do and building their enhancement in terms of their understanding of the instructional process, we can engage our students in a more proficient way. So going to that, we do, the Board of Education does allow a 0.5% increase for incremental programmatic growth. Last year, we saw a great increase of 0.49, where we added clinician, we added some other positions as well. We added some things that definitely were made to grow the program. This year, the percentage is a little smaller, but looking at the 0.14% and looking at what we've been able to accomplish with that relatively small amount, it goes to the credit of the entire administrative team, to the teachers, to the students, to the Board of Education for pushing us and having sort of the tenacity to help us to look at what we can do, what more can we do with what we have, without burdening the taxpayers. So that goes to that credit of the board and everyone involved in that process. The second piece that I think is really important that the Board of Education has the insight and the foresight to look at is there are certain components of the budgetary process that we have very little control over, such as TRS, ERS, Teacher Retirement System, Employee Retirement System, that fluctuate from time to time. There are some years that the percentage increase is pretty steady. There are some years that it hikes up. Those are things that we cannot necessarily foresee. We cannot control. So the Board of Education realized that and implemented that as part of their financial goals, meaning we are to stay within the roadmap that has been identified for us by the Board of Education. But in the event that some of these other unforeseen things occur, we have to now re-look at the formula that we have before us. So I want to give the Board of Education a tremendous amount of credit and commend you for continuously supporting our program, supporting what the kids do, what the teachers do, what we do on a daily basis, and working with us in concert with trying to continue to increase the opportunities for our students and our staff, but at the same time being fiscally responsible for the community that we serve. Thank you. At this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Ms. Perkins to look at the tax-free spending.
As Mr. Soto went over, you know, how we met all the goals, I think this is really a good thing for the district in that 4 years in a row, we've met the property of the residents of the San Luis School District have been eligible for the property tax freeze credit. So most homeowners, probably every December, have received a check, and that is the tax freeze credit or the rebate check. So you can see the tax cap started 2014-15, and in 2014-15, our tax levy was 1.18%, which actually equaled the tax levy limit. In 2015-16, the tax levy was 1.3%, which was way below the tax calculated tax cap. In addition to that, the school district had to provide an efficiency plan where it showed savings over the next 3 years. In 16-17, our tax levy was 2.34%, which again was below the state tax cap calculation. And this year, 17-18, our tax levy is 2.31%, which is the state tax cap. So again, residents of San Marinches will be eligible for the tax-free spread.
And I think it's just a typo in the one we have 2017
2016-17 in each of the 3 years.
Okay.
So we'll just, I'll just make that change before I get back onto the website. Thank you. Okay, so like I explained before, 2 weeks ago, the Board of Education formally and unanimously voted the tax levy increase at a 2.31. It's my responsibility as superintendent to let the community know what that means to each and every household here. So I have this slide here to show you exactly that. At the 2.31, the average is the household, which, by the way, when it says average, you'll see the average household school taxes are $7,199.62. That is not town. It is not county. That is only the school taxes. But that's the average for the Center of Riches community. The proposed tax levy is 2.31. What does it mean to you then? That would mean that your taxes would be raised. Well, not really raised because the tax rate might be different, but the tax levy would equal $166.67. What I did do, I wanted to just back out just so you can see it, because I said to myself, well, if it's $166.67, you already had a voter-approved capital project, so of that is a 0.67%. That actually equals $48, which is the actual debt service for phase one and for phase two of the current capital project. So I thought you might want to know that as well.
But that reduces the 166. That's not on top of.
Correct. Carol is ready and prepared. If anybody needs to look at their own tax bill and what it means to you, feel free to give her a call tomorrow, and she will calculate your approximate tax increase. This is just exactly like it's going to look on the ballot. So I thought it was important for you to see. Proposition 1 is going to actually look exactly like this: to adopt the annual budget of the Center for Riches Union Free School District for the fiscal year 2017-18 and to authorize the requisite portion thereof to be raised by taxation of the taxable property of the district. So this is exactly how it's going to look. The voting this year, if you remember last year, was the first year it actually changed. All the years before, we used to use the lever. We'd go into the behind the curtain and we'd pull a lever. Last year was the first time, I believe, it said in Richards, not in other places, they did it in the general election, I'm sure, years before, but that we actually bubbled in and then Scantron, and actually took the Scantron and put it through. So this will be the second year that they're going to be doing that as well, so just to make you aware of that. We have two seats open that I know all of you probably are certainly aware of. The two seats are currently held by our Board of Education President Josh Foster and our Board Trustee Lori Patanjo. They are three-year terms. Here in Center Riches, it is at large. There are some districts that you actually run against a particular seat, but here in the Center of Riches, it's not that way. It's at large, and basically, the person who receives the most votes ends up to be the winner, not going against a specific seat, and it all based on votes a candidate receives. The five candidates for the two open spots are Danielle Dench, Marcus Babson, Lori Ann Patanjo, Joshua Foster, and George Maxwell. And I can't tell you how to vote, but of course we would much appreciate everyone to come out. The voting starts at 7 a.m. in the morning all the way to 9 p.m. at night. The only place you vote here at Center Riches is at Lakeview Elementary School. I will take any questions that anybody has. Just raise your hand, jump, and get up.
But we're recording, so you would update your name, yeah.
You want to come up? Do you mind coming up?
Gabrielle Lembiazzi, I just had a question. I was just wondering, is there any union representation of the Center Riches School District here, or do they do anything here to encourage and communicate to the community, to encourage all of us to come out and vote? That happened here in this
What I will say is there is union representation here in the room right now. Okay. There is always union representation. They come to every single Board of Education meeting. I can't speak for them. What I would suggest is that you send an email or give a call to any of the building reps or Mike Kaczynski, the president of the union. I can't speak for the union.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Stewart, about 900, the year-to-year budget increase is about $900,000, $894,000, correct?
I don't know. Would you say that one more time?
So, the year-to-year budget.
The budget-to-budget increase. So, you're taking all of the years? Is that how many years you
have? No. This year and
over. Oh, just this year? Yeah. Can you go back to that slide, Carol? I'll have to look at it again. I'll tell you, I'm assuming you're right in what you're saying.
It's $894,400 is the budget-to-budget increase.
Yeah, there it is. The change on the top.
Right.
Yes.
And although it's not shown on this, in the piece that the district sent out a couple of weeks ago, so about half of that $894,000 increase is due to an increase in employee benefits.
Yeah, there was I'm going to agree to that, Carol, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to agree with you. Due to health insurance premiums.
So I guess my question is, and I know you can't answer it directly based on what Mr. Soto said, but can you speculate the postulate in years moving forward, what may or may not happen, how that may or may not impact?
Sure. I like that you call me doctor. I appreciate that. I'm going to say my doctor. We kind of forecast. We don't go out too far because it's extremely difficult. If you noticed in New York last year, many of us forecasted a certain percentage, and many of us were off. Luckily, we're so conservative within our budget, we were able to absorb the extra couple percentage points that it went up. For next year, they're forecasting between 8% and 10%. To be quite honest with you, we began the process at 8% because we were looking at the history. So historically, we were okay with the 8%. As we started going further, and Carol was getting more forecasts and reports, they were giving that 8 to 10, and many districts were moving slowly closer to that 10. So we actually got a little nervous because we wanted to, you know, try to be spot on if we can. So we forecast, I think it was about a 9.53, somewhere in that range. We went to the higher range. To go further out than that, I mean, to be quite honest, it's so difficult.
But I will say that one of the things that we've done, and I don't know if that was your exact question or saying what can we do to manage that, with four out of our five collective bargaining agreements over the last 3 years that we've negotiated, whether it be that they've expired or something's come up, we've addressed healthcare costs and we've addressed contributions in an effort, and this is where I thought you were going, although I'm not certain, but in an effort to help better manage those costs. That is the number one largest increase that we're seeing. And it's very, very difficult to grow the program, which we've seen. I think we've done a great job of trying to do that while also managing these costs. So we've gone, as we've worked with these units, and said, you know, we recognize these costs are growing. We recognize that this is a great benefit to you, but we need your help. And from the four units that we've negotiated with, each one of those four have said, we understand. And we will work with you. And if you go through the contracts that we've signed over the last 3 years, each of those, in some way, and it's different by unit. So it's the CMAA, it's the SAMHSA, it's the secretary unit, it's the Teamsters, and it's the paraprofessionals. Each one of those units, the healthcare contributions by the employees of the district have gone up. They've contributed more, which will result over time in a reduction of our costs. In some instances, it's new hires. In other instances, it's a modification of the contributions.
Can you give us a sense of, again, depends on the bargaining unit, but approximately what percentage are the employees contributing to health, to their own health care?
So it depends on the bargaining unit. I know basically exactly what they are, but today it's... It varies across the unit from a 12% contribution to a 15% contribution. As we go forward, some of the units have agreed to contribute on new hires over a period of time up to 25%. One unit even greater, up to 32%.
Okay.
So the hope is, and what we've talked about as a board, is over time, that will help to offset the significant strain that the district is under and help to kind of better align those costs to the benefit that's received. And we've also addressed other points kind of along those lines in regard to working with how the buyback. So certain of the units have the right to, if they don't take the insurance because perhaps a spouse has it, get a buyback, meaning a portion of that back as a benefit. And we've addressed that in certain ways in the contracts. So, well, again, four different contracts, so it's managed in four different ways. But consistently in all of them, over that term, over the next term, there is a greater contribution. Is that where your question was?
Yeah, it's certainly been the number one ask from the district to all the unions. And I have to give credit to all of the unions. I think all of them understand exactly your point of what's going on and what has to happen. In addition, on May 31st, we have a specialist in the area of health insurance that's going to come and meet with the Board of Education and start kind of looking over other types of insurances and other things that we can possibly offer to units that might be less...
But again, the units, to that point, would have to agree based on the agreements that we've got with them. What we want to do is say, here are some options. Perhaps they can... Remember, if they're contributing more, they're spending more. Perhaps you can save. Perhaps we can save if the coverage is consistent. Maybe it's a win-win across the board. Different districts on the island do it different ways.
Just looking at additional options, not changing what we're doing.
Right.
And then one additional question. Again, East Texas District sent out a week ago, one of the line items is in the proposed budget, there's a proposed reduction from $100,000 down to $50,000 for maintenance repair. I wonder if someone can speak to that.
So,
no, go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've heard over the last number of years is that we need to have a maintenance repair reserve in place to ensure that we are keeping up with all of the different things that we need to do. And we put that in place, which year? 2 years ago, correct? Put it in place 2 years ago. It started at $50,000 2 years ago, the maintenance repair reserve. Can't hear you. Right. So last year we did put $100,000 in that reserve. This year, in working to get to the budget that we got to, we kind of, you weigh each of the individual, you know, pluses and minuses, the course offerings versus the maintenance reserve. We were able to address some of the needed items in the capital project that we're doing. So yes, it came down this year a bit. We're still able to maintain a portion of that money going into the reserve.
Seriously consider maintaining that line, because it's easy one to cut. I understand that the board and at least a fraction of the community wants to grow programs and whatnot, but one of the reasons we got into the situation with regard to, you know, geographic facilities in some regards is the fact that it was deferred maintenance and whatnot for literally decades. So I would ask this board and future boards to very seriously consider maintaining that.
I think you make a great point, and I think that, you know, without obviously maintaining the facilities, it's very hard to provide for the programs, and you can get into a situation where you have, you know, a stitch in time saves nine type of thing, and that's part of the reason that we implemented it, and I think a key reason that we're going to maintain it. But it, like everything else, it's a weight. It's a weight and balance. It's, you know, do we have $100,000 maintenance reserve but cut three programs? You know, where do we need it right now? What do we foresee for next year? And that's kind of the conversation that we had. So I appreciate that. Can you just, I'm sorry, Pat's just writing down everybody's name that's questioning. Can you state your name again, sir?
Strobel.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Can I address the person who asked about the union representation?
Yeah, you.
Sure. But the union does totally support the budget, and we do encourage people to have a vote. In the past, we have called NYSA members, or NYSA members that live in our district, to encourage them to have a vote. But those are the only
hoping that, you know, everybody gets motivated to support the budget, remember to come out and vote, and to get that extra phone call. I just don't know what the culture is here, because I'm new to the district, and I just wanted to feel the enthusiasm that, you know, union is like, you know, wants to. Yeah, and
we can't. We don't disseminate information about the budget. That's the board of ed and the superintendent.
We just make a phone call and say, don't forget to vote.
People to come out and vote, and then we to support the budget.
Yeah, Lisa, Ms. Valentine, sorry.
Okay.
I just want to thank you guys. I didn't want to answer you. I knew you knew exactly what you do every year and your entire CMTA, but I didn't want to answer for them and say that the calls that they make and what they do. So thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Any other questions? Great. Takes us to the next section of the agenda tonight, which is questions and comments regarding tonight's agenda only. Does anybody have any questions or comments regarding tonight's agenda? Yes, can you just come up? I'm sorry, just so that we can hear. Thank you very much.
Why are you abolishing two positions in the elementary?
Abolishing two positions is only due to enrollment. Enrollment only.
Okay, and what's the forecast for the future?
I don't know exactly. Mr. Soto did it. I don't know. I mean, I think we're pretty. I'm going to say
we're pretty steady. What are the
steady.
Things we're looking at? We have seen a decline in kindergarten enrollment, which has resulted in a reduction in sections across the elementary school. Right now, one of our smaller sections, which is second grade, is moving to third grade, which is the result of one section being dissolved, as well as the incoming kindergarten class. We're projecting that class is going to be relatively small as well.
We're also watching Eastridge's, because their graduating classes of 8th grade have gone down considerably, so we are watching.
That's the high school, but that's not high.
It's still numbers, because the number of teachers is basically based on enrollment, and right now we haven't gone down there, so it's worked out pretty well, but we have this year, especially in the kindergarten, that we have gone down.
So, like Mandy, Mrs. Qualic, she's not here, though, is she?
I kind of feel a little uncomfortable, because I don't want to speak about Ms. Qualic.
I'm not saying you're saying you're abolishing two positions.
You're correct.
So it's not, she's technically not a position, it's just one position being abolished.
If somebody, I'll answer it this way, if somebody's on family medical leave act, then you are correct that only one person would, but no, we are abolishing two positions. So whoever would be filling her position if she were not here.
So the one is in the third and the second is in the kindergarten?
Yeah, that's correct.
So how big are the kindergarten classes?
We're projecting about 88 for next year. So once again, what we've seen over the last few years that our incoming kindergarten classes have become steadily less over the last 2 or 3 years. The first time we dissolved the class was moving from kindergarten to first grade, which was about 2 years ago. My son is actually in that grade. He is a second grader at Clay Huey. That was the first grade that we did dissolve a section as the students moved from kindergarten to first. And we've done it repeatedly for the last 2 or 3 years.
And all those enrollment projections, they are on the website in the presentation that Mr. Soto gave. So, you know, you can see actually everything, the numbers. Our kindergarten is right now probably average around, I'm going to say.
Well, I'm roughly about 90.
Yeah, so maybe we're at 15, 16, you know, somewhere around that.
So but now, say if the numbers do go up, then you're going to have to hire another teacher then, right?
If numbers went up?
Or is the teacher already in place in the budget? You know what I mean?
Do you mean for kindergarten if numbers went up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Any
grade level. You're correct. If all of a sudden we've had an influx at a certain grade and we needed to open up another section, we don't see that. You know, we had that 1 year where we were so close and we were worried, so you didn't know which way to go.
Well, we also make sure there's a buffer in each section of a certain number of kids when we determine how many teachers will be in that section. So if four kids move in, you don't have to in October or November open up a new section. We try to make sure that we're not right at the max of where we would be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and we're pretty comfortable right now, like where it's going to land.
Yeah, we're now at the contractual maximum.
Yeah. Where are we near that?
No.
That's, I guess, the point, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions on tonight's agenda?
I have a question about number item 15 on the agenda with the budget transfers. What is the dollar amount and where is it taken from?
With regard, you're talking about all of the background?
The budget transfer.
The budget transfer. Is there a dollar? What's the dollar amount for that?
So Pat can walk through it, but I mean, there's a number of, there's 10 or 15 items that are transferred from category to category based upon based upon things that go on during the month or during the week?
Yeah. I would like to know that.
So you want to walk through each of the categories?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. Carol, do you want to walk through each category and explain?
All right. The first transfer is, do you want me to go from the codes or...
I think you can just say, you know, we've transferred $9,000 to cover, storage tank coverage from X to Y.
Right.
$100 from kindergarten screening to supplies, that type of thing.
Okay. The first transfer is for the insurance coverage for our storage tanks. And that amount was $9,064.31. We had a $100 transfer materials for kindergarten screening. We had a transfer of $548.60. There is a field trip for Girls Power Tech Day. It was an opportunity that came up, and it was beneficial. And
what grade is that?
It's tomorrow, actually.
It's my dad.
It's high school.
High school. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we had a transfer of $308.64 for plaques for the JV Awards. We had another transfer of $7,343.64 for an additional matron on the bus. One of our
what was that on the bus?
A matron, an additional matron on the bus.
Okay.
Then we had a transfer there's a company, Consultant School Source Technologies, in the amount of $5,254.34. And that was basically, it was in one code, and we had to transfer it to another code, the payment. And then we had a transfer of $3,240 for our GASB 45. It's a requirement. We had a transfer of $3,435.73 we had a student attending the alternative high school at the Eastport South Manor School District. In addition to that, we had the next two are just reallocation of salaries. One is the amount of $7,800, and it was for two teachers, and it was on board agenda a couple weeks back. They had an additional class, mm-hmm. and they get a stipend for that. And then the last is it was a reallocation of $10,000. And that was to cover substitutes for paraprofessionals.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have another question. Just the teachers that are being abolished, where is that clustered in the budget? How do we see that? Like, where is that reallocated for the 2017-18 budget?
So it's not reallocated. You look at, when we did the budget presentations, we went through the total number of salaries for the teachers that were needed, and we determined that based upon, as Mr. Soto said, the number of the enrollment, the number of teachers that were needed. So when you prepare a budget, you go through and you say, what do we absolutely need? You start at the bottom and work up. How many teachers do we need? What does it cost for those teachers? And that's where, you know, effectively you come out. Now, if you look at the contracts for all the teachers, all of the staff, every contract basically increases each year. So you can't say, well, we reallocated the the $200,000 for two teachers to these three teachers, because everybody goes up each year. Healthcare costs went up 800. And what was the number, Carol, this year in the aggregate for healthcare? 500.
Went over
12%. So, I mean, cash is fungible. So effectively, you're saying we had however many teachers total last year. This year, because of our program, we have two less. The aggregate cost for all of them goes up, but not as much because you don't have two teachers. Does that make sense? Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions on tonight's agenda? Great. Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting. Three. Motion to adopt the minutes of the budget hearing meeting, May 4th, 2016. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Motion to adopt the minutes of the annual budget vote, May 17th, 2016. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Motion to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting of April 19th, 2017. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. So I think, Carol, we can go through items 7, 8, 9, 10 together, and 11 together. Everybody's got the agenda. There are no questions. Very straightforward. You want to go through 7?
Okay. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resignations.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education rescinds the following action previously adopted on February 8th, 2017.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Resolved, the Board of Education hereby abolishes two positions in the elementary education tenure area. Be it further resolved, the employment of the following teachers having the least seniority in the system within the tenure area of the positions abolished shall be discontinued effective June 30th, 2017, to wit.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. I mean, I want to say this is never, nobody's in favor of this, and it's a very unfortunate situation that we're in to have to abolish, you know, any position. But as Mr. Soto said, it solely was based upon an enrollment. Go on.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employees for a leave of absence, which is in compliance with the terms and conditions of the Santa Maria's FMLA policy.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2016-2017 school year as follows.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teaching and support staff vacancies for 2016-2017. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointment.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the appointment of the following individuals for the May 16th, 2017 budget vote, each at $10 per hour, except where noted.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as at the established cost contained in said contracts, and authorizes the president to sign said contracts.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the budget transfers for the month of April 2017.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, Board of Education approves the treasurer's report for the month of March 2017.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. So, Carol, as I look at this, if we brought down to where we are today, and I know I ask this question a lot just to try to help me understand, projected revenue, when we did the budget, it was 41,434,649. And if you projected the revenue today, it would be $206,000 more. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
And that's because we got more state aid than we thought when we did the budget, plus one more tuition from EMO and another $47,000 from Native American. Is that tuition? Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. As I look at what we've received to date, we're now more than about three-quarters of the way through the school year, or 65% through the school year. We've earned, are we on target as to where you think we should be with what we received? Is there anything in these numbers that should give us concern?
No.
$27 million received of the 40, almost $2 million that we're expecting to receive.
No, we're right on.
Okay. And on the other side, on the expense side, we expected to, in the revised budget, have expenditures of 41,620. We now expect the expenditures to be 44,83, which means as of today, we are expecting, if the year ended right now, a surplus of 1.1. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's a result of savings with BOCES, as well as debt savings, effectively. I mean, there's other savings in there, but those are the more significant line items. Okay. And we've spent approximately 62% of the money. I mean, are we on target? Do we expect this is where we'll end at the end of the year, or are there other additional expenditures that you think will bring us more close to the end?
Right now, we estimate that's where we're going to be.
Right.
We have two more months, and hopefully, nothing catastrophic happens, but we're right on target.
All in favor? We did motion second already.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thanks, Carol.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the student activity treasurer's report for the middle and high school for the month of March 2017.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education nominates and approves Joseph Townsend as chairperson for the May 16, 2017 budget vote, and be it further resolved that the following details of the vote are also hereby adopted.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education awards the contracts for printing as the lowest responsible bidder as per specifications for the 2017-2018 year.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Carol, what am I looking at here? On Exhibit 6, I don't have the contract. I have one form.
What it's basically, we had a bid opening, and then we document all the bids that we received for different printing items, and then based upon that, we award bids based on the lowest
responsible bid.
Right.
Yeah, but so I'm seeing 2, 4, 5. I'm curious as to how this works. I'm seeing 2, 4, 5. People that were saying we're awarding to the lowest responsible bidder. When I look at the sheet, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So are we going to award?
If you see in color each...
I have a black and white.
Yes, you have black and white.
Yeah.
Yes. I could provide it to you in color so you can see. But what happened is if you saw it in color and you would see it's highlighted, then say an example is our, here's our calendar.
What?
Our calendar.
Calendar.
It's the third from the bottom.
Sorry, dear. If you look at the calendars. Go ahead, go across the tab there if you can, Carol. Starting with the $41.99.
It's it's under district office. You'll see an amount of $3,042, and that is Courier Printing, and they received the bid.
And that's seven items over to the right is the one that won. Is that what you're saying?
So we're awarding five different contracts based on who was the lowest bidder for each individual printing task.
That's correct.
Is that normal? I mean, rather than saying to them, if you want it all, what's the, like we did, you know, is that how you do it?
You could do it either way. But sometimes you get the best bang for your buck if you do it individually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Specifically the calendars and things of that nature.
Right. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of records.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education conducts a third reading of the following policy and subsequently moves to adopt the policy.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Brings us to the next section of the agenda tonight. Questions and comments from the community on items not on this agenda. Are there any? Yes, Marcus.
Good evening. My name is Marcus Badley. I'd like to ask a question regarding community involvement. So I appreciate all the community members that came out tonight to some budget presentation. I'd like to believe that if we had better awareness of what happened here tonight, that more people would come out. So in a few days, there will be a Meet the Candidates night. And when last year you saw the attendance was mediocre, let's say, is there anything that the district can do to raise awareness without crossing any legal or conflict of interest boundaries?
It's not really
a flyer.
We can do a robocall. We can put it on the message board outside. We certainly mailed it home with that. There aren't many other ways to really go about it. Getting people out, I think, is hopefully, people like you go out and tell people to come out and listen. But I don't think there's much more we can do. We are going to have it on the message board. We did come into a Connect Day. We certainly did the mailings as well. It's actually gotten better over the years. I think the attendance said that.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I would love as many people as possible to come.
I mean,
out.
I can say something inflammatory right now to generate some excitement. I don't think that many people listen to the audience.
You don't think so?
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. I saw a hand back there. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I guess, you know, it's always a sensitive topic when you have to make that tough decision about, you know, the numbers don't lie and you have to let someone go. I'm trying so hard to find my niche and my avenue to create an awareness and have the dialogue there and plant the seeds of how important that if we're going to put our district on the map and go in the direction of the STEM and the science and all of that, you know, when I look at the budget proposal, I mean, there is a discrepancy as far as how much money is being allocated to the elementary building. And I feel that, I'm going to support the budget, and I'll say that out loud, but I feel uncomfortable seeing that there is not enough money going into the elementary building to support the science for the kids in that building. And having lived it, and as an educator, and I see how much these elementary teachers have on their plate, I mean, when we see all these neighboring districts, what they're providing in the building, as far as the support of the science, to have a science center and have it be someone who's going to be either a full-time teacher or retired teacher or someone magnificent like Mrs. Hansel who could go into that position as a special assignment to be able to start and work together even with Mrs. Kennedy, another magnificent person in the district. I mean, my goodness, I mean, how are we going to put energy and stock into this high school program when we don't have the culture being supported at the elementary building? So it's a food for thought. I don't know if there's an opportunity that a position that could be growing and be created for that magnificent teacher. I'd love to see, I don't know, if you could recommend to me, what do I need to do to cultivate health to get us to have someone hired who's going to support that K through 5 set of teachers in this building for science and exploration in our building.
So are you involved with the curriculum committee?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And the recommendations that come up from the curriculum committee, I think, are recommendations that we, as you know, we're preparing the budget and you're preparing the 5-year goals,
mm-hmm.
we look at and we take extremely seriously where both the teachers that come together to do it as well as, you know, the parents and the educators in the district, they're really the right place. So you said, where do you do it? That's the right place, because then it's that balance.
You know? Your point as well.
Yeah.
I can't agree with you more. It is difficult because being able to hire an additional teacher is tough. It really is. We look at our growth in the area of Lego League and robotics and certain things. They aren't the $100,000 ticket items, you know.
But you know what? I mean, there are items that we've done where we've heard from curriculum committee or others. So, for example, the independent science research position. Yes, to your point, it's at the high school, not the elementary school. But if there is a need and there is a focus that we could say, wow, we could really take it to the next level. That was what I felt with that science position. We can take it to the next level. Let's figure this out so that this is that important. The same holds true from kindergarten through 12th grade. I mean, we had a discussion again at the high school, so not where your focus is right now, but with regard to special ed from K through graduation. And this year we were able to figure out how to get that full day at that 11th, 12th, you know, 19, 20, 21 year old level. So I think that's where it needs to grow from.
And you could use the example of the additional clinician.
Sure.
You know, as another,
that was
similar,
a good one from last year.
It's an area, but a similar issue that we worked to resolve.
Sometimes it's added into the budget, sometimes we seize the moment, like with the research at the high school, we needed the 0.6 physics,
mm-hmm.
and then we came to the board because we knew it was an ask to go into the area of research, and the board did add another 0.4 for that, which we had a presentation, I think you were there, right, with
mm-hmm.
Jonathan Jeans, which was incredible.
No, actually,
but,
I wasn't able to do that, and
the clinician was an ask from a survey. The Board of Education sent a survey out, and that was the number one ask was a clinician, and you can imagine some, I mean, you know as well as everyone does about what's going on and how much they're needed, but your point is well taken. At the
yes, end. I know, and I just, you know, yeah. I just, I can't help but to say, you know, hey, we didn't just figure this out with the enrollments down. I mean, this is the trend of what we see, so I feel like, could we have been brewing something, could we have been proactive, you know, had been thinking down the line and knew that this was coming down the pike and had done something and prepared in a better way to anticipate, ooh, we're going to be switching teachers, different grades, losing this one. You know, I would like to, and I'm going to continue to pay my, you know, put my energy into it, but,
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Dates to remember, the next Board of Education meeting will be on May 17th at 7:30 in the district office. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing proposed pending or current litigation. Other matters of disclosure of which would result in an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. For motion to adjourn from executive session to go back into general session.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Please just make a note as to... same notes that Pat would make somebody so that we've got as to, you know, who's here and who's made the motion. You guys hear me? Or no?
Yes.
Yeah. We have a listing of the board members that are here. Mm-hmm. We've received in an executive session tonight a resignation from Annette Rank as a board member. We've spoken with counsel, and we've determined to come back into general session to discuss the resignation from her role as board member. Motion to accept Annette Rank's resignation as a board member.
Motion.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of consultation with counsel. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.